are selling elephants primarily for conservation purposes. In Zimbabwe, elephants, they are in excess in relation to the ecological carrying capacity. We have too many elephants, and we need to manage them. They destroy their habitats, and in turn, they affect the biodiversity conservation. Too many elephants, they go out of protected areas into settled, human-settled areas, where they destroy crops, they injure people, they kill people, and we need to deal with this excess, elephant population. That's why we want to sell these elephants. We have a number of strategies that are on the table, and long back we used strategies like, culling. They would kill quite a good number of animals in a year, but we have seen that this is quite expensive. Because one, we are not able to reach anything out of the tuskies. Because according to scientists, we can't just export these tuskies. So the culling exercise itself is quite expensive. And also on the other hand, it has received a lot of criticism from its animal rights groups. So as a country, and we are a leader in conservation, and we want to maintain this position, and we are adopting some methods that are quite favorable to us and to a number of people, like capture and export to other, acceptable and approved destinations. And we also do this not just for export, but also within the country where areas are suitable to receive elephants. So that's where the problem is. People just criticize, why are we capturing animals, moving animals? But the issue is there. The issue is to protect the environment. This is what we want to do. Those who criticize, they should be able to profile. They should be able to give other suggestions how we can maintain biodiversity, how we can deal with human wildlife conflicts. Not just saying leave the elephants in the way they are, yet you are not dealing with the biodiversity degradation, human wildlife conflict. So these are the things we want to to solve as a nation.
And which countries are you looking at in terms of relocating these animals? And also, in terms of one animal, how much are you looking at in the end when you start selling them?
We are looking at every country that is acceptable, that is suitable, that has been approved, and a country that is following or abiding with CITES regulations, IUCN capture and transporting regulations. A country that is following international standards, veterinary requirements. Those are the countries we are going to deal with in terms of trade in elephants. It's not just any country we are going to sell these elephants. These are countries that have been approved, countries that have got a record of proper wildlife conservation. We need these animals. Where they go, they should also survive. And the remaining population should also survive. So that's why you're saying this is for conservation purposes. So if we destock, it means the population that remains behind have got enough in terms of ecological resources. Those ones, where they go, because we also go out to these countries ourselves as Zimbabweans to inspect the facilities, the areas that are going to receive these animals and see if they are also suitable for these populations so that they also survive in those areas. So it's like we are trying to expand the elephant range wherever there is suitable habitat. If we are selling these animals, and for elephants, we are not looking at less than $25,000 and $30,000 per animal.
Animal rights groups have been complaining that, some of these animals, when they are transplanted, some of them have been dying. I think they've been looking at other case studies with other countries. Just take me through the process. What do you have to do to make sure that a country like China, for example, when the elephants go there, that, they survive?
The first thing, when we receive an application and we have vetted, we have decided that we are selling animals to, we want to sell animals to this country, what we do is we dispatch our experts, ecologists and the veterinarians. They will go to this country and visit the particular sites where these animals are going to be kept. They carry out a suitability assessment of these areas. And they have to come back and make an appropriate proper report, which is quite objective. If the area is not suitable, they will say it, and we will not export animals to such countries. If it is suitable, then they will say it is suitable. Then when we are capturing animals in the field, we make sure that we capture animals during the appropriate season, particularly cool seasons, where we don't expose animals to high temperatures, so that animals will not die due to this capture method. And when the animals are captured, it is done by experienced, skilled veterinarians. It's not just anyone, you know, just capturing these animals. And we put them in facilities that match, you know, appropriate standards. These are international standards. And in these facilities, we keep these animals a bit of time, let's say up to 3 months, so that these animals get used to people preparing these animals for translocation. And the type of transport we use, that is approved transport. There is IUCN standards related to transportation of the animals. There is also IATA, you know, international standards when you are using aircraft. So we follow these standards and make sure that the animals are not injured during the way. And when they arrive at their places, also veterinarians accompany these animals and make sure that they are given proper treatment, proper care until the final release. It's not just getting to that country and release the animal, what we call hard release. No, it will be soft. It will be gradual. The animals being monitored and then finally they are released into the areas. And there is always a post-release monitoring program, you know, for these animals when they reach their destination. See, I don't see where these animal rights groups coming in with the complaints and the way they are getting problems. And you see, their problems might be just hitting a particular destination. Their problems might be just trying to stifle maybe economic development in particular areas, particularly those countries that are giving away these animals to suitable destinations. So people have seen that, like mining, agriculture, wildlife, these are key components of the Zimbabwean economy. So you find some people, they try to come as animal rights groups, yet their focus is actually to deal with the economy, to just curtail development in the country. So sometimes we think that these are animal rights, you know, people, yet it's a different face altogether.
What other animals do you think you're going to be looking at and doing the same with as you are doing with the lions?
Any animal species we see to be in excess ecologically. When we are looking at various, you know, protected areas, any animal species is potentially going to be treated like elephants. So it's not that it's lion, it's whatever. If lions are too many, if zebras are too many, if hyenas are too many, we have to manage, because this is a management program. So we are dealing with the excess numbers, and those excess numbers have got to be dealt with in a very sound scientific manner, and to be dealt with on a sustainable, you know, basis.
And in terms of poaching, lastly, where are you in terms of trying to make sure that, you know, poaching is not as bad as it was a few years ago?
With the poaching, we have managed to contain it. Poaching is there and it will continue to be there. But the most important thing is that we have to manage it, to contain it, so that its effects are sustainable. It can be there, but, you know, no any species or any population should go into local extinction because of poaching. We have various strategies we are using. We are now using aircraft, you know, to carry out, you know, reconnaissance, deployment of staff. We are also carrying out what we call joint operations. We work with the Zimbabwe Republic Police. We also work with the army and other, you know, national security agencies in the country. We also work with the local communities, traditional leadership, in all the areas in the communities living adjacent to protected areas. We are working together with these traditional leaderships. And we also work with their small local NGOs. They are putting quite a lot of effort, you know, trying to look for resources, and we are working with them. And also the corporate, you know, world, these are companies in the country. They are putting a lot of interest also in wildlife conservation. donating vehicles, radio equipment, and so forth. So in Zimbabwe, the approach we are having now, we are now going to system of developing area-specific anti-poaching, you know, strategies. This is what we are doing for every protected area. And it's everybody's business to us. We are trying to make sure that every segment of the population is involved in wildlife, you know, anti-poaching, right from the community through formal, you know, government structures and also to the corporate world, the NGOs and so forth. We have to work together. It is everybody's business to make sure that Zimbabwe's wildlife heritage continues, you know, to survive.